So this is the life of no regret, the verse that's spoken by Dharmakara when he meets his teacher Lokeshvara Raja Buddha for the first time. Last week we talked about rare and precious are your precepts. And this week I want to pick up on the lines, the oceanic Dharma of all Buddhas, which you fathom to its deepest depths, dispels the three poisons from the heart. Which in a way, it could be just those three lines could be a syllabus for months of Dharma study. The oceanic Dharma of all Buddhas. The image of the ocean is one that is vast, and to somebody 2,500 years ago in ancient India would probably have even vaster implications than it does today, when it took so much longer and was so much more difficult to travel from one side of the ocean to the other. I was reminded of a description the Buddha gave of becoming enlightened, which hinted at the sense of Dharma belonging to many teachers and being universal, rather than being something that he created in one particular moment in time. He talked about his experience of discovering the Dharma as finding a path in a jungle that had been covered over by trees and shrubs and vines, but he could just make out the trail of a path, and following this path through, eventually it led to a large city, a large golden city, which represents the teachings. And so there's a sense that was also very ancient. And what he was trying to get across when he suggested this metaphor was the idea that he, as I said, he wasn't creating something, but he was discovering something that already existed. Like when you discover the ruin of a castle at the top of a hill and you've never seen it before, and there was something of that awestruck nature of his experience of, wow, look at what all these other people have done before me, all these other people have created before me. And in Buddhist sutras you find lists of Buddhas that spiritual teachers who enlightened that came before the historical Buddha, lists that can go on for pages. A sense of generations of teachers going back throughout time, who each discovered the Dharma, the Buddhist teachings, and passed it on to their students, and almost a sense that sometimes it died out, like the city that was lost in the jungle, and it took somebody new to go into the jungle and rediscover it again. It wasn't dead, just hidden from the view of ordinary people. And Lokeshvara Raja, who this verse is spoken to, is one of the names that appears in the lists of previous spiritual teachers before the historical Buddha. So there's a sense that this is a very old text given to somebody who was a spiritual teacher who discovered the Dharma in the same way that the historical Buddha discovered the Dharma. And this line, the Dharma of all Buddhas, which you fathom to its deepest depths, is suggesting that it's not the creation of one person, but it's something that is understood by many, many spiritual teachers and sort of exists beyond them, and they sort of tap into that and are able to transmit it to other people. And what defines a Buddha is somebody who understands these teachings completely, not just intellectually, but in their lived experience. And there are lots of different expressions of this teaching, the historical Buddha, which when I say that I mean the Buddha who lived and died in India 2,500 years ago, that we have historical documentation that he was alive and teaching them, lived for about 80 years and taught for most of his adult life. So there are many, many different teachings that he gave. But if there's one word that can sum up the whole of the Buddhist teachings, it is love. And if there are two words, it's perhaps unconditional love or love and faith. For Pure Land Buddhists, particularly, we think of the Dharma in terms of love, in terms of receiving love from the Buddhas who've discovered this teaching, and also in terms of our practice being, on the one hand, realizing that each of us is lovable just as we are without having to do anything to get any better, that there are these spiritual teachers and there are these Buddhas who exist and are able to love us just as we are, and also that as our practice matures, we are able to encompass more and more people and beings in our love. It may be that to begin with, just one person or one object is all we're able to give kindness towards. But as our spirituality grows and deepens, and as we have a sense of being loved ourselves, we're able to widen that circle to include more and more and more beings. So the oceanic Dharma is love. And the sense is that somebody who is a Buddha is not just somebody who understands that it's good to be loving, but is somebody that actually is able to love each being that comes before them unconditionally. And I suppose if somebody asks, how do I get to that place of unconditional love, this is where faith comes in. So you start with two things. The first is having some sense that being loving is the best way to be in the world. Either because you trust somebody who suggested that this is the case, or because you have an experience of being loved or of having your love received that gives you evidence that this is the case. And the second is having faith that something in the universe, which for us is characterized by these Buddhas with their Sanskrit and Japanese names, loves each of you, each of us, unconditionally, just as we are. You may only have a hint of this experience, or you may just have an understanding because somebody has told you that it's the case. But if you have both of these seeds, the belief that loving is the best way to be, or an understanding that it is possible to be loved in this condition as a flawed human being, from these two seeds, Buddhas grow. Namo Amitabha. Amitabha. Amitabha.